Beautiful.
It is August 1988. Russian troops begin their withdrawal from Afghanistan. New York City temperature hits a high of 88 on 8-8-88. Princess Fergie gives birth to Princess Beatrice, and Republicans nominate George H.W. Bush for president. But you don't care too much about all that because your mind is on prepping for a return to school next month. Dennis from Second Period History, Beetlejuice, Angela, drugs, arrests, Mom and Chuck, a lot happened at the end of the last school year, and kids don't forget. What's life going to be like when you return? While you're dealing with a fallout from drinking $45 worth of Orange Julius's, Angela's high-powered criminal defense attorney, Conrad, was busy getting her off the hook for her possession charge stemming from that night that you were supposed to see Beetlejuice with Dennis. Turns out he didn't defend Dennis, as it was easier to get Angela off without his baggage. So now people from school are doing this Save Dennis thing, raising funds for his defense, even though he's a jerk, even though he definitely bought and used those drugs. What fresh hell is this? No one has it worse than you. So you pick up the August issue and dig into a story about a girl on death row. Yes, it's time to...
Listen to Sassy.
And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Pamela Ribbon.
That was well crafted, Dave.
I don't know what you're talking about. These are just events that happen to a reader of Sassy, and I'm just relaying them.
This is time to talk about August 1988, and our spine line is fall for this. Pam's already mad.
It's 88 degrees in New York. Like, where is this fall? Fall is a September thing.
Yes.
I am not a crackpot.
No, you're not.
Fall starts after Labor Day, at least. But it really starts in October.
I think they got confused because they have to create these issues so far in advance. They're like, I don't know, it's like 4 or 5 months ahead. It's got to be fall by then, right, guys?
Sure. Well, fall. When we get to the fashion, it's definitely fall fashion. It's a lot of plaids. It's a lot of back-to-school looks. So I think it's just like fall in the state of mind sense.
I don't agree with the way they work that. It has to be about the month. It has to. If you're going to set it in time, you have to match the month on the spot.
I agree.
That is the Johnny Cochran. If you're going to set it in time, it must be on the spy.
Right. But at the same, the other thing about August is that unless you're in Canada, where we have the civic holiday, there isn't really a holiday in August that you can, like, call out. It's just like, well, it's still summer, I guess, you know.
You can make a reference to the first emperor of Rome, Augustus, with all his great public works.
Yeah, we could just go and gloop it. Or if you live in the South, you know that's when you start going back to school because it's hot as balls outside. And they're like, get inside around the air conditioners. So I was already definitely beginning eighth grade. So it was back to school time for me.
Right. My big teen life experience in August 88 was that I figured out the loophole of being in marching band without actually having to do the marching. Try out for the pit. The pit is the percussion players who are like in the front of the field when you come out. You get a lot of special perks. I had no experience at all playing like mallet instruments, so like xylophone, marimba, bells, etc. But they needed people to do it, so I tried out and I got it because I could read music, obviously. And that was like my best year of band. That was the smartest thing I ever did because I still got to like leave school for full day band practices. But when you're not marching, you don't have to learn the routine. So we would sleep in the truck. It was the best.
Do you think that was a sliding doors moment for you, Tara?
Yes.
On the other side that we don't see, you're like a gold medal Olympian and something.
Yeah. Perhaps. Well, we had a real dark quiz for July 88. We're going to kick off August with another very depressing story. A Girl on Death Row by Catherine. This is the story of Paula Cooper, who was convicted of murder in 1986 and was, at age 16, the youngest person on death row in the U.S. And the story of the crime is basically she was hanging out with some friends. They wanted to go to an arcade. They didn't have any cash. She vaguely remembered that a neighbor had a jar of money in her house, so they were going to go over and rob her. And they did. And in the process, they stabbed her to death a lot. Even at the point when they were talking to her in 1988, the Supreme Court had already banned putting anyone on death row for crimes they committed when they were under 16. But it wasn't retroactive, so it didn't help her at all, which is nuts to me. I feel like another magazine might try to find someone who, you know, there was thoughts that they might be wrongly convicted. And in this case, she definitely did it. She doesn't deny it. There's seems to be no doubt that's not what the basis would be of trying to overturn her conviction, which is bold. Like, they start from a point of empathy with her, which I don't feel like we would see a lot at that time.
Yeah, it's an absorbing read, even now. Just thinking about myself reading it back then, you know, it's told through the point of view of someone who would have never been in this room otherwise, which is a smart way to do it. You know, even like it has the word bitch in it and stuff. It's just, it feels like you are being called to act, right? And Paula's story does catch on and does change lives, and she changes lives through all of this. So it just feels like I just can feel the sassy activism beginning here of we're just giving you facts, and maybe here's what you're going to – maybe this will get you upset too, even though it's there's still a death in the center of the story, but there is very much a life at stake here.
Yeah.
It was a hard read, but like you're right. Like it was something very, very contemporary about the way the story was written. That kind of surprised me. I didn't really expect it. And a lot of points of view that you're not going to see in mainstream writing for another decade, at least, I'm going to say.
Yeah, I definitely empathize with Catherine, especially when she keeps interjecting, like, my questions are so dumb. Like, I feel so useless trying to ask her anything about her life, given her circumstances. And I thought that was that made the story stronger, too, that, like, you know, she feels sheltered. She feels like a dork.
Yeah, or even when Paula's like, what are you doing after this? Are you going to lunch? And she's like, man, I don't feel great talking about anything that happens to me after this because I know what happens to you.
Mm-hmm. The year after this article, her sentence was commuted to 60 years, so she was no longer at risk of being executed by the state. And then she was released in 2013 when she was 43, having served 26 years, arguably 25 longer than she should have. One of the articles that I'll link in the show notes also, like, says, just an aside, after getting in trouble 23 times during her time in prison, like, man, fuck off. Like, she was in prison for 26 years, like, only getting in trouble 23 times seems low to me, but sadly, she died by suicide 2 years after that when she was 45, which makes discussion in the article about her thoughts of suicide when she was younger even more chilling, knowing what we know now.
Well, one of the articles said that when she, you know, she didn't really have her parents around. Her dad was extremely abusive. Paula had seen horrible, horrible things most of her life. And they had talked about, in her defense, this was a girl who had witnessed rage and anger as a method of control of a situation for a long time. Apparently, she didn't know when she was going to be put to death, and that she thought at any point someone was just going to come into the cell and take her. And so there was a part of her that was getting more and more terrified the longer she was in there. And then, which I think is some of that, she got in trouble 26 times or whatever.
Yeah.
And then she eventually, she got her college degree. She got a job when she got out. She became the chef in the prison.
Well, the article also introduces Bill Pelkey, who is the grandson of the victim, and talks about how he's working to get her off death row at the time. And so we'll link an article too about him and the organization that he started, Journey of Hope, which is an anti-death penalty organization for victims of crime. Usually when a victim statement is made, it's for outrage, and they're outraged in a different direction, which is incredible. Great article. Stuff to say much about it. Like, it's really well done. And as Dave said, it feels very modern. If this doesn't make you, at least, if not a death penalty abolitionist, at least possibly also a prison abolitionist, her story, as it wove through decades in the carceral system, may get you there. It's really dark, and we hope she's resting in peace now. Let's move on from Paula's story to our second feature, the definitive ultimate guys are weird survey by Karen. When we have our docs, we assign stories or we claim them for who's going to sort of take the lead. And I had preemptively given this one to Dave, but he feels that it'll be better if he goes in blind as our local boy.
I think it's great.
So let's start here. Dave is burping a turnoff because the boys surveyed say it is.
No, I think burping and farting are like milestones on in your relationship when you're comfortable enough to burp and or fart in each other's presence. Mm-hmm. That means something.
Yeah.
And so not really. And then beyond that, no, not really. I mean, if it was, we would divorce each other years ago.
It's very true.
Years ago. Thoroughly and completely. But mm-hmm. It hasn't. So no, it's not.
That's how it is in their family. Can I say that when I turned the page to this spread, I went, like I remember this big pink stripe, and I remember this curvy blonde in this swimsuit was hair I tried to do with so much mousse, mm-hmm. and probably created exactly who I was trying to be for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that here we are getting to ask a boy in real life these questions.
Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of stuff about your looks. This is basically told from the point of view of, like, what do you want your girlfriend to look and act and be like? So, you know, we get photos of, you know, four girls, and it's like, what's your favorite body type? And it's like four different kinds of thin.
So, yeah, I was going to ask. So the curvy one doesn't look like that curvy. It looks like she's trying to make curves with her pose because yeah. she's sort of like going out of her way to...
look at that curvy
become
knee.
Become an S. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, she's yes. curvy in the way that models are allowed to be curvy, which is she has big boobs.
She's pouty.
Yeah.
She's curvy like pouty. This it says they asked 300 unsuspecting guys in malls across America. And mm-hmm. I just wish there were a couple of photos.
Of the guys.
Of yeah. the guys, yes. Yeah. They rate, like, what kind of girls' makeup do you like? And then in different situations, like, do you like her... Is this a good look for church? Is this a good look for a date? Is this a good look for school?
Yeah.
And there's one chick wearing so much makeup. And I guess the early goths were like, dig it. That's yeah. what I want on Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to a Nine Inch Nails concert after this.
Yeah. Some of this is telling us things we already know. Like, oh, guys like big boobs. Interesting. Oh, guys like mm-hmm. you if your hair is long and big, like a blonde Julia Roberts. Got it. Like, we know. We also got in question 12, at what age did you lose your virginity? 21% said before age 13. Lies! There's no way. There's no way. I'm sorry. Like, you were just trying to look cool in front of this person who was asking you to your face.
Yes. Yeah, which is why 22% of them said that they've had sex with more than 10 girls.
Uh-huh. Sure,
yeah.
That's
a lot. Of people. I mean, I guess if you start that young, you might have a number that high. And perhaps these were 18, 19-year-old men.
I guess. But
men.
Even like the coolest guys that ever crossed my path, I don't think had sex with 10 people when they were teenagers.
I'm impressed. I don't know if I'm impressed. I mean, you can't, if you tell me I wouldn't have guessed they were lying back then when I was reading it. I would have been like, oh.
Oh, no.
Hold on. Why is red hair... 3% on number 6. That's horseshit. That's number 1, baby.
Oh, interesting.
Red, brunette, black, dirty blonde, blonde. That's the order. Sorry.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, well.
Okay, noted.
Says Tara, noted non-redhead.
Yeah, noted non-redhead.
This is a preference I was not aware of, but got it.
Let me tell you about Faria. Tara, you can order this right now. Do it with a hot oil treatment and you'll look like Ariel by morning.
So yeah, question 19 is the one about what's your favorite makeup job. This is what Pam was referring to before, where it's like none, a crazy amount, a normal looking amount, and just really a lot of eyeliner. And you know, at the end of the blurb, it's like, try to avoid too much makeup. Not only will he hate it, what if you like it? You know, like, I know that's not the point of this whole thing, but like, don't frame it in terms of like, here's the makeup you wear to get a guy. Like, do what you want, I feel. And then in question 20, it's like, guys versus girls, who make better drivers? who's better at sports, who make better artists. And the start of the blurb about that is, has feminism done any good? None of these are questions about feminism at all. Like, that's not what that means.
I love question 21. Who would you most like to be like? Tom Cruise, 6%. Arnold Schwarzenegger, 4%. Or would you like to be over 100 people at once, according to number 3? 108 other guys. I mean, who wouldn't want to be that many people at once? Of course it's the right answer. 90%.
I would like to be 108 other guys.
Answering an earlier question is, how do you have sex with so many people while you're still in high school, is that you are 108 people. Mm-hmm. Behold, I am 108 people. It's going to sound really good with the echo effect.
And not yourself. You're 108 other people.
I have 216 breasts, 216 testicles. Oddly, 107 buttholes.
Yeah. I got this comic book taken up in school, too.
All right, let's talk about the outfits in question 28/29. Because
wait, Dave. Yeah. I'm 22. Are you going out with Heather Locklear, Samantha Fox, or are you going out with 64 other girls? I think this will say a lot about you.
Yeah, 64 other girls. Yeah.
You'd have to, because these 1 and 2 are both bullshit blondes. So yeah. I suppose you got to take your chances on the 64 other, hoping for a ginger somewhere.
I want to get philosophical and existential, but is that really 108 guys going out with 64 girls, or is it one 108 guy going out with one 64 girl?
This is definitely what happened at malls across America. This is definitely what happened. And they were just like, Jesus fucking Christ. We're never asking boys anything again.
Yeah, I guess they're pretty good artists.
Fuck off.
Or like a mall, except for that one doesn't know how to eat salad. She's weird.
Is that your stomach?
Anyways, I don't know what's going to happen with that one. It remains to be seen.
God. This philosophical thing about the guys and the girls is reminding me of that old internet quiz that we had at one point, where it's like the penis quiz.
Yes.
Which one of the answers is like just kept getting more and more absurd as it goes on, until at one point one of the options is, which would you rather be, something and then a 1-inch penis with a 37-inch penis. It's like, I wish I knew where that was now. If you remember that from, like, I'm going to say 1997-ish. God, it was funny.
Oh, my God. It was really good. I remember one of the names in it was Brent, or Brett, one of those. One of the answers was Brett with a penis coming out of his forehead or something like that.
All right, moving on. The outfits in questions 28 and 29. These results are crazy. The plurality of guys, almost half, like this look, where it's like a short prom dress. Well, you'll see it in the visual aids, but it's like a sequined bodice down to like mid hip, and then it's like tiered tulle ruffles, and it's with a pillbox hat with fucking lace all around it. Might be a fascinator.
Yeah, it looks like Madonna was crowned Elven Queen. Kind of.
Yeah. It looks like it looks like an adult, like a woman in her 40s on Dynasty would wear this.
Yeah. This looks like what in Big, like what the date lady is wearing. Like, that's why this is working. This is why, that's what a date's supposed to look like. Because all of the other looks, and first of all, they're all in fashion right now. I'm not going to tell you I bought all of this on Poshmark last week, and it's in my closet. But none of the others look like they put out like number one grown-up lady from Big in this dress does.
Yeah.
That lady's putting out.
Well, you made this point in our notes, which is like, what we're not realizing is how much they're rating the poses. Because that was definitely true of the which body do you like better. And it's the one where she's like really cocking her hip and looking like she's up for it, as they say. This one is the one they want to take on a date, I guess, because it looks like she's going to fuck. But the second
Yeah, but the last one, she's got the crazy shit underneath her clothes. Like that one. That,
yeah, she's going to take those glasses off and wiggle that head. She is wiggle ready. But it's
But the second most popular one is the one where she just looks like default girl. Like she's just in clothes. She's in a long sleeve white t-shirt, plain jeans, and plain white Keds.
I'd be nervous to take any of the other girls on a date. First of all, girl with flowers in her face. You're not taking her anywhere.
No.
You're not taking her anywhere.
No, she's going to take you back to the compound to be brainwashed.
She's already engaged. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. She's married to
a number of sisters. Yeah.
Yes. And yes. And then the Harley Davidson biker chick. I mean, she's got things. Both biker chicks, I guess. There's two kinds of biker. One's a cyclist chick.
Right.
And the second one is David Lee Rothina.
Yes. She is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's Stussy. She's like ready to go shred, as we've learned. The kids like to write on their arms. I don't want to take these girls on. It depends on where the date is. It sounds fancy. Only one of them is wearing heels, is all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
If you took the hat off, glam girl, it's fine.
But where are you taking her in this dress? Like, if not a school dance.
No, you're taking her to Vera Peretti's.
Or like your dad's fourth wedding.
Yeah, you're going out for a night on the town.
You're in high school. You're taking her to Applebee's.
Yes. You can't wear this to Applebee's.
Well, I mean, you do. You're going to the Macaroni Grill.
You can't wear this to the movies. Tonight, every time she shifts, it's like so noisy, this dress.
All the appetizers you want. It's on me. up to three choices.
All right, Dave, which outfit is your favorite? Which is your favorite outfit on a date of these six?
Oh, the last one.
Yeah.
Because she's got wild shit going on underneath.
Okay.
Yeah. There's some kinky stuff going on.
This is your answer across the board on a date on the weekend at school, this preppy girl at the end?
I mean, I don't want to make her wear a cardigan on the weekend. That seems a little cool.
What a nice man.
I am.
She has to wear the cardigan. Dave, as you would know, if she takes the cardigan off, there's spaghetti and wine all over her entire outfit. She's wearing head to toe white. The cardigan is basically her Gallagher rain gear tarp.
Yep.
And her books. And she can shelter herself momentarily with her books from herself.
All I know is this girl's going to grow up to be a sexy librarian. I'm into it. So I'm going to say her across the board.
Great.
If only we can get her to have red hair. It'd be great.
God. That seems like a good place to stop. Forever.
Oh, Dave. You're signing up too many books. Come here. What? You have no money? Well, we'll have to figure out another way.
Speaking of David Lee Roth, our next feature is called Hot for Teacher. So Christina Kelly writes an article about all the different things that happen when you have a crush on your teacher, all the things that could happen, just some fantasy fic about it. I don't want to just get personal right off the bat, but did you guys ever have a thing for a teacher?
No.
No.
I never had a teacher that looked like the sexy librarian from the other show.
You know, they don't have to be sexy. They just have to be into you.
All the lady teachers at my school were old and alcoholic.
Well, yeah. All right. We all heard Don't Stand So Close to Me a lot. And then also remember in Indiana Jones when she closes her eyes and her eyelids say, I love you. And I think you put those two things together and you think you're supposed to, at some point, have some kind of sting teacher, Nabokov you around your journals.
Point of order. It just says love you, not I love you. She only has two eyes.
Starlog Jam.
And take back one eye to honor the Hebrew God whose ark this is.
Yeah, I'll say even like since this article was published, teacher having an affair with a student has become a staple of teen pop culture. Like it happens in every fucking CW show that is set at a high school for sure. Like Pretty Little Liars, Dawson's Creek, on and on and on the list goes. Like
Magic School Bus.
It's Magic School Bus. It's very common.
No, you're right. Common in Hollywood.
It's a common trope, I'm saying. It's to the point where like now this summer there's a show on Freeform, which is really good, by the way, and it's set in the 90s called Cruel Summer, which kind of turns this on its head because there's a teacher who is like actively grooming a student, and then terrible things happen in terms of an abduction. But the show is quite gripping. But it seems like an answer to all of those other shows where it's like, you might have an affair with your teacher and he's an adult and it's fine. Where this is like, it's not at all.
Right. Because in real life, when this has happened in schools I've been in, it does not work out well. And it for anyone, it becomes a big thing.
Well, I did have a drama teacher who married his student. So she wasn't my age. It had happened at his previous school. But, you know, it did occur.
Was he trying to create more work because it was like a make work project, creating more drama?
Yes. No, she just kept saying yes and. Sorry. This article makes you feel so grown up because at one point it says, shit. Like, this is just all of a sudden Sassy's like, your parents have stopped trying to get this thrown away, right? Yeah. We all have subscriptions now. Okay, girls, shut the door. Let's talk about fucking our teachers. It can happen. And when it happens, be prepared.
Yeah.
This made it seem like one day you'll just be sitting there and you'll be faced with this dilemma that happens to every woman as she buds.
Yes, it's a very normalizing kind of situation where because the first section is like, what is it like when you have a crush on your teacher? Then what is it like when your teacher has a crush on you? Which doesn't start with like, tell someone. And then the last section is even worse somehow, which is you and your teacher like each other. And you and your teacher are getting married. And one of the people they talk to is a girl who dated three teachers and is now married to one of them. Like, no, this is a cry for help.
Yeah, some of the teachers were married at the time when she was dating them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo! Cute guy alert! Woo!
No! No? Did I misunderstand?
No! No! WikiHow tells you how to cope with a crush on your teacher, which is a much more appropriate word to use here.
Do they have those airplane instruction?
Yes. Yes. And it is like, it just reads like this should have, which is like, listen, sometimes you will have a crush on your teacher's pictures of different kinds of teachers, different kinds of people having crushes, not just this one sting recreation. And it had a sentence that I just love. It says, you have to, you know, you have to talk about it. You got to look at the situation from outside of the situation and not think of it like you're in this situation. And then it says, this can help you overcome your feelings toward a member of authority. Whoa, what a great sentence.
Yeah.
What a great thing to be told, like, this is normal and here's your opportunity, because it'll keep coming up in different weird ways in your life. In unexpected ways and more complicated ways, because here you're 100% in the right. You are not supposed to act on this, and no one's supposed to do this to you.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe we buried the lead, though, because the teacher is Liam Neeson.
It does look like Liam Neeson.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Is it Liam Neeson?
No. Yeah.
She's getting taken. I have a particular set of skills, young lady.
Ew. No!
Backstage is our fiction piece this month. It's just a good piece of dumb fiction about, like, getting backstage and what it's like to meet a band. Why can't I talk about the fiction without turning into Fred Armisen? I don't know. But when you used to, remember kids, there were radio stations, and when you didn't have the internet, instead of hitting refresh, you would redial a radio station over and over and over again to try to win things. What kinds of things? Bragging rights, song requests, dedications, and sometimes tickets to things.
Yep.
And that was like, you know, like an hour and a half of every night of your life. There was a station when I lived in Mississippi, probably around this time. I don't know when Dirty Dancing came out, quickly off the top of my head.
87.
Oh, yeah. So it would have been around this time. The radio station was playing She's Like the Wind. And then it started playing She's Like the Wind. And then when that song ended, She's Like the Wind came on. And then the DJs were like, so we're in hour 8 of what we're calling Swayze Crazy. Patrick Swayze is in town to film something. And we want him to come on down to the radio station. So we're going to play She's Like the Wind until he comes here. We've gone Swayze Crazy on Power 106. And I just kept listening because, you know, at some point, Patrick Swayze was obviously going to come. And let me tell you, 10:30 at night, these poor DJs were like, this fucking song. So we're on our, and it's like, I wrote a parody song. I still remember it. I got delirious. And I was like, she's like, wait, I feel a breath on my face. Mouthwash, her body close to me, deodorant, can't look in her eyes, sunglasses, she's out of my league, baseball, just a fool. I still remember doing that like a lunatic on my bed. The point is, Backstage is a pretty good article. He never showed up.
Let's go on the road, guys. Let's go to Boston, a place I've never been, even though we lived in New York for 5 years and it's so close, we just never went. This one they had to break out in terms of like, because I guess Boston has so many teen cliques that they had to divide them.
I didn't like this one.
Yeah.
I felt like the way they did it robbed me of like stupid store names and stuff like that that they've had in the other ones. And it's just like, here's your various types of teens, your clean cut, your hardcores, your urban undergrounds. And this is where they do these three or four things, mm-hmm. you know, where they go, what they wear. It's like, it's kind of boring.
Yeah. That's because you guys are travelers who like yourselves.
What?
But if you like, for me, this was much better because I could see them. I could see the people for the first time. It wasn't like just a church with some shadowy figures underneath on a mm-hmm. skateboard. They're not riding. But it told me about their cliques and it told me what they said, what they listened to and what they wore so that you could decide who you wanted to pretend you were.
Yeah. There wasn't really much choice for me. I was born a clean cut kid and I'll die a clean cut kid.
Yeah. And I just want to take exception with urban underground, a bike gang. You don't get to call a gang of bicyclists mm-hmm. a bike gang. Bike gang is reserved for motorcycle guys, you know, your Hell's Angels and stuff like that. Like you have bike gangs, trouble, motorcycle clubs, less trouble. Mm-hmm. Bicyclists, least trouble.
But look, first of all, I think they might be New Kids on the Block. If you really look at it.
Nothing underground about these guys. Yeah.
So, and it seems like they have faked their way into this magazine article. They have called themselves urban underground because when you ask them what they say crack is whack, ain't no thing but a chicken wing, and let it happen, Cap'n. And I think this is a Boston improv group in college that have crashed on the road and they're like, we fucking did it. We just dressed like Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah. The guy in the back, I just zoomed in on this. And the one in the back looks like Billy Burke, the other firefighter chief from Lone Star, 911 Lone Star. Like this guy in the back of the shot with this pulling his sunglasses down, like trying to be cool mm-hmm. is 34 years old minimum.
Yeah, the Christian Slater. Yes, absolutely. This is 100%. This looks like an SNL parody right now. These guys did it. They got some super bragging rights.
Yeah,
in the improv
you might
group
be right.
College.
You might be right.
I really wish I were hardcore. Like, I like these hardcore. These hardcore girls look so fun.
Yeah, they
want to hang out with them.
They look great.
They also don't have any fears about wearing all white.
No.
Even when she dyed her hair blue. Just that's confidence. I want to be the confidence of that.
One's got bright red hair, so that's Dave's girlfriend, I guess.
Oh, there's Dave's girlfriend, the punkette.
He would be too scared of that girl.
Yeah, totally.
Likes it in a more Maya Bialik-y way.
three pitchers, the hardcore couple, the hardcore girls, and hardcore store detective.
Yes.
This is like a TV show waiting to be made. Boston hardcore comic book store detective.
That is my girlfriend. Look at hardcore store detective. That's like a song by They Might Be Giants.
Yep.
She was a hardcore store detective. And I loved her. I love her. Let me hear your body talk. Body Talk starts this month with a picture. Is a girl, it just says, they're exercising with rubber bands and they're resistance bands. Maybe they were called rubber bands back then. But I'm terrified in this picture, the way that she's holding them. She's wearing one in her ponytail, and the other one is going to make her punch herself in the face with a rubber band very, very 100%. Soon. Very, very soon. And I know this because I did this myself this summer. I am someone who has resistance banded myself in the face, punched myself in the tit. It's just a thing that happens. And it's always when you're just the second you think about anything else while you're doing a resistance band, it will get you. And because I'm a horrible person, I did a link in the show notes of just, I mean, everyone makes me laugh. I'm a horrible person. But it's because you have to be so focused.
Yeah.
And then you spend 1 second going, is the camera? Every single one of them is when they're like, is the camera catching us back? Perfect. The second article here is about fat, and it just tells you the percentage of calories from fat in butter, mayonnaise, peanut butter, baked potato, and jelly, so that you can be like, jelly has no fat. Jelly is fat-free. And these are just numbers you memorize and you know forever.
Yep.
And this is part of the problem, that I can still tell you that mayonnaise is 99.8% fat. So I suppose Miracle Whip isn't.
Probably slightly less. Mm-hmm. The next item, feeling good about yourself might just be the best defense against pregnancy. Huh? Well, researchers at Stanford University found out that girls with high self-images are more likely to use contraceptives correctly. They asked 31 sexually active girls to rate themselves on statements like, I do bad things, my looks bother me, and I like being the way I am. During the 3-year study, almost half the group got pregnant, and all the ones who did had rated themselves poorly. So in other words, if you don't like yourself enough and you get knocked up, it's your own fault. You half. Fucked up.
Half.
It's also 31 sexually active girls is not a very big sample.
Research is currently going on to determine whether chewing gummy bears actually prevents cavities. Unfortunately, no follow-up, so I had to go to the internet to figure out what the hell this was all about.
And?
The Haribo Research Institute confirms gummy bears do not cause cavities and actually build enamel.
Thanks, Haribo, creators of gummy bears.
They build enamel? What do you mean they build enamel?
Well, but just the gummy bears, when you eat them, they heal your teeth.
Oh, I thought this was real. I'm really gullible today.
Oh. Even I was like, did you mean tartar? Okay.
Constipation.
I'm listening.
It's caused by too little fiber or water or variety in your diet. And I just want to say that's true, of course. I think we all know that. And boy, when I was a teenager,
oh, no.
Let's say from 7 all the way till about 16, I was pretty much in a constant state of constipation. We're not quite sure, but it turns out I had a hernia for years and years and years down there, and that might have contributed to that. But in those years, I had probably no less than 8 enemas, you know, because it got that bad.
Oh, dear.
And let me tell you, you don't know teenage embarrassment until your mom has to give you a Fleet enema. No, granted, she was a nurse.
She was a nurse.
But still, lying down in the bathroom floor as your mom sticks an enema up your tush, squeezes it, and says, all right, that should be good. Try now. Woo! No, thank you.
Is there a way that you can give yourself an enema?
Yeah, probably, but no. Not when you're like 8 or whatever.
Oh, you were 8.
I'm saying this constipation... No, it could have been 8 all the way up probably to like 14 or so when I got these enemas.
Oh, and God, this is awful.
It's hard to give yourself an enema, but the other thing is that, I don't know, I got to get into it. But when you give yourself, when somebody else gives you an enema, there's a certain grin and bear it throughput that just makes it happen. Whereas if you do it to yourself, you'd be tempted to kind of stop. Sort of like, you know, how you can't like without weights drown yourself, you know, because you'll eventually come up. It's like that with enemas. You will stop it from happening, probably, because it's terrible. This has been Enema Talk. Oh,
Starlog Jam, indeed.
It's a Starlog Jam. Well, I am blushing.
Help!
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 Best friend and boyfriend. My boyfriend and I just broke up. The day after, he started liking my best friend. A week later, he asked her out, and she said yes. Every time I see them together, I want to cry. I've thought seriously about killing myself. He's the only guy I've ever truly loved. This is terrible. I'm sure it happens all the time. Everyone has a story about someone who started dating their friend's ex. But this entire answer does not even address the part where she says, I've thought seriously about killing myself, which, like, these are answered by a doctor. Maybe mention that. That seemed strange to me. Here's one for Pam. Toxic shock fear. What exactly is toxic shock? Is it still affecting women these days? Are there any certain brands of tampons that we should avoid? This is why I'm afraid of using tampons. And in the answer, they just say as a sidebar, well, tampons are not 100% safe. What?
From toxic shock.
Okay, sure. But that's not what someone's going to hear. Like when you're reading this, you're like,
Well, you can't get pregnant from a tampon. What do you mean?
I don't know. It seemed like fear-mongering to me.
Oh, my God. I feel like we're 15 right now. And then I'm like, Tara, do you know you can't get pregnant from a tampon?
Yes.
Maybe if you put sperm on it. But I don't know why you would do that. And even then, if you put sperm on it, wouldn't it not be able to go inside of you? Maybe, because it's jelly-ish. Maybe.
I think by the time you put it on a tampon, it would no longer be active. It would be dead, probably. It would not be able to swim.
Wait a minute. You're saying if sperm went from something on something to in something that's dead sperm, it can't get to me?
I mean, I'm not a doctor. I assume there's probably been some edge case where someone's gotten pregnant by that weird way. But
you know, this is someone who ended up rolling around in some spooge on a prenatal massage table, and there was concern of all kinds of things that I probably wasn't going to get. Well, I didn't. I'll link it in the fucking show notes. This next sentence is confusing to me because it says you want to use a regular size tampon to be safest from getting toxic shock because the super absorbent kind can fill up all the space in your vagina and cause a buildup of bacteria. Oh, what?
I didn't get that either because, like, what is the point of using a tampon if it doesn't basically fill up all the space in your vagina? Like, that's why they expand.
Yeah, I don't understand. Do they mean it like it grows like a
gets
like
into
a
your
money
fallopian
tree?
Tubes.
Yeah, it's just like hangs out on each ovary until you pull it out. I know you want to change frequently because you don't want things in there for a long time because that's where the bacteria grows. I like that you're like, let's skip to the, it's a real thing, Tara.
I know.
I don't understand that if it fills up all the space in your vagina, that's how the bacteria begins to grow. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I can't believe our combined age is what it is. And we have both discussed how do tampons work and can you get pregnant if he comes outside of you, but then it gets in you a little bit on a tampon. What the fuck? They have to teach things in schools. I shouldn't be Googling this. So then there's a letter. Help. I'm having dreams about a jerk. There's this boy who treats me like dirt. He makes fun of me, puts me down in front of everyone, and talks behind my back. The other night, I had a dream, and he and I were having sex. Is it normal to have dreams about someone you dislike? And I don't remember writing this letter and sending it in, but it is clear that this was my sassy article.
Puzzled. Adorable.
Yeah, poor puzzled. And Sassy's like, I mean, don't worry about it. You're probably just like, you're just working out some conflict in your head.
Yeah.
But if you care about what dreams mean, like I do, you should know that it could mean you're fixated on a talent that this person has that you wish you could get inside yourself.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And finally, I have a major problem. I'm 14 years old and still wet the bed. I'm really scared, especially when I go over to my friend's house and I'm afraid it will happen there. Signed, scaredless and sleepless. And, you know, there's various things like just let them know that you're going to have to get up in the middle of the night, maybe set an alarm, you know, try not to drink too much before you go to bed. And then the last one is, if it's medical, see a urologist, which takes me to my life recently having needed to see a urologist. And I just want to let everybody know I am not making this up, but here are four of the doctors that practice at my urology office. Number one. Bob Dickinson. Number two, Steve Hardman. Number three, used to work there, has now moved practice. Lester P. Wang, or
he had to go.
Les Wang. And finally, our best urologist at Austin Urology and the man to go when you need to get your vasectomy, Dr. Richard Chop.
Oh my God.
This is real. I've seen the picture.
It's not Dick Chop. It is not. You did not get a vasectomy from Dick Chop.
I didn't. No. Dick Chop recently retired. I did not get the chance to see Dick Chop for any of my issues, but he is a well-known figure here in Austin.
God damn. Keep Austin weird. Do you think they only let people work here?
If you don't believe in fate.
No, I feel like it's some sort of requirement.
Mm-hmm.
Those are maybe not legal names, like and born
I'll,
names. Those are
I'll give
legal
it to Tara
names.
To put it in the show notes, but apparently once upon a time, if you went to Dr. Chop for your vasectomy, you got a shirt that says, I got chopped at such and such.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's Austin.
There you go.
So excited that stuff you wrote is finally here.
This page is the best. Does it return? Is this a regular
yes.
thing?
Yes.
Yes. Dave, the reason we are this is because of this page. Stuff you wrote made us.
Fantastic amount of cringe. I love it. It's great.
It's the best.
It's my favorite thing so far.
The best. So Stuff You Wrote, in case Sassy is new to you, is reader submitted poems, deep thoughts, little jokes, you know, just detritus. Detritus and soul. That's it. It's like let's express ourselves. It wasn't quite a letter. It wasn't quite help. It was something. And here it is. Everybody's got a different font and a different color. And it's, oh God, it's just great. Like, here's one. You know the Grape Nuts commercial where they say the crunch still stands up even though they're sitting in milk? Well, me and my brother wanted to see if it was true, so we took a single grape nut out of the milk and measured how far we could hear the crunch when one of us chewed it. We heard it from 7 feet. Thanks. Thanks, Inbal from Bexley, Ohio.
If Inbal was just born 20, 30 years later, she would be a YouTube star of great magnitude.
Yep.
That is the least cringeworthy one. That's the one where I'm like, that's pretty good use of your time, actually.
That's a TikTok challenge
yeah,
right
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there you go.
Missing Out writes, I am from Iowa. Nothing ever happens here. If you want to see a concert, buy your favorite rock group, go to a BMX freestyle championship, watch a national skateboard contest, or even a hacky sack event, we have to drive hundreds, sometimes thousands of miles, or sit on our rears in front of a television set with a bag of chips. Doesn't sound so bad. Why do states like Colorado, California, and Florida get all the good stuff? We Iowans aren't as hick as some people like to think. Dude, it's called population density. Look into it, you dolt.
No! That's just her thoughts, man, in her journal.
Well, her thoughts have an answer, and it's called population density.
Lori Bailey was thinking, you guys, and Lori Bailey wrote on a piece of paper that she then put in an envelope and addressed, put a stamp on it, and sent to Sassy. I don't suppose Johnny Depp has anything to do with Depp styling gel. I know, dumb thought. And Lori Bailey from Glendora, California. I have thought that myself as I was flipping through
this. I have said that on this podcast in one of the early
How can you not? It
so,
had to be said.
It's universal.
It had to be said, Lori. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Untitled. A single milk white petal clinging to a sad, sallow face is all that remains of a once perfect daisy. He loves me not. Yes! Woe to Karen! Feed me, Karen! The barn door creaking, creaking.
She's Karen Christine Hansen, and she would like you to use all three of her names, for that is her pen name.
Magnificent.
Untitled is the best part of the whole
God.
Thing.
And Anonymous writes, how come Band-Aids are the color of white people's skin? So I looked it up because I know that
you're not going to blame population density this time.
I looked it up. So Starlog jammed it.
So Band-Aid actually did introduce perfect blends in 2005 and then discontinued it pretty quickly after because it didn't sell well. And then they had a change of heart last year for some reason in 2020.
Huh.
And they promised to add brown and black colors to the lineup again, which they did. They had three new tones called Our Tone. But my, what I say is all Band-Aids should just be the color of painter's tape, that like very blue, yeah, blue. And that way you don't have to worry about it.
Yes.
So I also think the neutral emojis should all be like blue or green or something like that. It shouldn't be yellow because yellow is basically white.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's light versus darker tone. So I think like if you had like a middle of the road blue for everybody or green, I think that'd be good.
But mm-hmm. I think that's like when people say, I don't care if you're black, white, brown or purple. Like I think if neutral was blue, that's like pretending there's some other color that represents all colors.
Well, it's not yellow. It's better than yellow. Or do you want gray? Do you want everybody to be like just completely ashen gray?
There were clear. I don't know about clear emojis. Obviously, I'm not solving that problem. But I remember clear Band-Aids, which you could have.
Yeah.
They sucked.
Except the padding part. That was still
well,
light.
Also, it just showed all the dirt that was collecting at the edges of your Band-Aid.
And they weren't as adhesive. Whatever they needed to do to the plastic to make it clear also made it less sticky.
Just normalize children Band-Aids and the problem solved. That's the thing, is they never match. Just pick a color and let's just go with it, you know? Like, let's pick a color nobody has, and then, like, we'll just buy that one.
They could Pantone it. Band-Aids, and it's the color of the year.
Pantone color of the year, as long as it's not flesh-colored,
I like
is
that.
The color of Band-Aids that year.
Yes.
Give us the cool Band-Aids.
Yeah, okay. This year everybody's getting cut, and they're all wearing chartreuse.
Lastly, we have Megan Dixon, who has written a poem called The Teenager. Stepping on eggshells in my mind, tiptoeing quietly through my thoughts, daydreaming in daylight, dreaming in moonlight. It hurts to stay so quiet, dot, dot, dot. But if I make a noise, then the house of cards in which I live will fall, dot, 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 dot. Cards like snowflakes against the sky falling quietly, dot, 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 dot. White against light against dark, the queen of hearts falling through the night, queen of hearts falling through the stars, crushing the eggshells, crushing the house of cards. I am free. And I didn't need to know that Megan Dixon was from Katy, Texas to recognize the pain in her heart. 1 year from now, 1 year from August 88, I will be living in Katy, Texas, and I will be writing The Teenager day after fucking day. And I will one day publish those poems in a book that you can read so that you know that I'm not bullshitting you. I also kind of went and checked around to find out where Megan Dixon is now, which is when I learned that her dad owned Katy Hardware when I lived there. So anyway, Megan, hope you're listening. It's so good. I hope you're still writing. Look at this. I hope I did your poem justice. Katy High School forever.
We also have the debut of another feature, It Happened to Me, where... This is a longer one. What?
Sorry, I just thought we were all going to sing it, and then I remembered it was like, it was about an abortion.
She had an abortion,
It happened to me! Oh, shit.
Yeah. The first one is from Amy. When she was 18, she had an abortion. They asked her to write down what it's really like, and she did. And it's pretty grim. I'm happy she got to have an abortion because a lot of people can't. It's getting tougher every day.
It's an oof of a story as told, but like it's almost a story of a badly run business than about abortion itself. Because it just sounds like everybody at this business has totally checked out when it comes to bedside manners. And it really colors the experience when nobody seems to give a shit about why you're there.
Yeah.
It's super close to what you feel like you'd watch at a counseling center that you have to go to before you can get your abortion, and you have to watch the video, and there's this girl, all her voice is echoey. She was like, and there were just girls on every bed, and I had to sit on a chair. And every time they got up, there was blood on their legs. Right? It doesn't feel like Amy is a person. It feels like Amy is a funded by people against abortion.
Yeah. The way you describe it sounds like abortion traffic school.
Yeah. I guess. I mean, it doesn't make it seem like it was a great experience, but I don't think there's a way you can tell the story where it would. Like, it doesn't seem like the end of this is like, and therefore, don't try to get an abortion. It's like, try to not get pregnant more than anything else. Like, what I would expect more if this was going to be an anti-choice story would be like, and I regret it to this day, which is not part of this.
Yeah, I didn't really get a sense of regret.
I just got the
sense that she was pissed. Well, I mean, maybe I'm reading into it. But I got the sense that the circumstances, the location, the people involved with this made it a miserable experience.
Yes.
Because it took something that she was scared and unsure of the process in and made it a horror story because they just, like, the equipment was faulty. The doctor said two words to her. The nurse was curt. There were bloodstained this and that's all over the office. And like, it just was sounded like the beginning of a Saw movie. And then like, is somebody's real experience with abortion. That's what I mean when I say it's like, it's about abortion, but like the really bad stuff is almost like attributed to the people that perform it.
Yeah. Yes, I hear what you're saying. I'm just saying I've definitely read more propagandistic anti-choice stuff than this.
I mean, I was just looking up when you were like, that sounds like abortion traffic school. I was like, well, let me send you a link to the Prestonwood Pregnancy Center. Like, they have abortion traffic school. And in Texas, I think you have to go to abortion traffic school if you want to get an abortion. I think that is the law, or at least one that they're trying to pass as a 2019, pre-abortion counseling is required.
There are a lot of other portrayals of the abortion experience. There's lots of movies, and most of the ones that are coming out lately are about how hard it is even to just get to a clinic. We're going to link a bunch of those in the show notes. Obvious Child, Grandma, Abortion, Stories Women Tell, which is a documentary. Never Rarely, Sometimes Always, which I watched last week, Pam. Ooh!
Mm-hmm.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Unpregnant is a bit more lighthearted, as much as you can be. And Plan B just came out. As you're hearing this, it was about a week and a half ago on Hulu. And we're going to also link to the National Network of Abortion Funds, because if you're like me, you're going to go watch Never Rarely, Sometimes Always, and then become a monthly donor. Because Planned Parenthood is probably always going to have lots of funding sources, but abortion funds give money directly to people for, like, stuff they need, like a ride to a clinic in another state, perhaps, or a hotel to stay wherever they have to go because they live somewhere where it's difficult to get an abortion. So that's my propaganda. Not anti-choice, the other way. Wrap it up on a lighter note. What he said, question this month, who do you really want for president? We're, of course, August 88th, as we heard up top, George H.W. Bush has just been nominated as the GOP candidate for president.
Good for him.
Yeah. What happened after that? It's hard to remember. Anyway, so they've asked a number of gentlemen who their picks would be, and Mark the intern is doing a lot. He's 18. I would pick someone with the stature and suaveness of Cary Grant, the daring and flair of James Dean, the peace-loving attitude of Bob Marley, and the fire of Martin Luther King. And if there wasn't such a person, I'd pick Neil. He's my idol. All right, Mark, you got the fucking job. Calm down.
He just wants to be Neil number two in case Neil's busy, just like ladies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm basically Neil.
His hair is gorgeous. Please go to the visual notes to take a good look. Like,
it looks like a wrought iron fence is against his head.
It does. He's also got the Steve Sanders-like curl poof in the back.
Yeah, he does.
Not good. Mike, 17, would pick Michael J. Fox. He can't be president. He's Canadian, you dolt.
But you know what he meant? He actually meant Alex B. Keaton.
Yes.
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah.
Probably.
You dolt.
Double dolting. JJ 17 says he'd pick Alfred E. Newman. We've had enough clowns as president anyway. Why not put a real clown in? Which is, you know, fortune telling. And what's wrong with this country?
Ezen is 18. He's not eligible because he was born in Taiwan. He would like to see himself in office because, and I quote, I think this society's morality is deteriorating because there are so many people on welfare. I would decrease Social Security aid and increase money for education and self-defense. Cop!
Peter DeLuise is the celebrity of the month because he plays a cop. cop and a narc on 21 yep. Jump Street. It says Peter DeLuise 21. Mm-hmm. I don't know with this photo. I don't know. Peter DeLuise is picking David Letterman for president and Paul Schaefer for VP. What a funny DeLuise-y answer. And anyway, he's the only person I ever wrote a fan letter to. Okay, thanks. That's the end of that story.
Is that true?
Yes.
Aw, ma'am.
I thought maybe he'd write back.
Sounds like he didn't.
No, he didn't.
Assuming that because the vice president is first in line to take the presidency in the case the president is killed, I don't think Paul Schaefer probably could run for vice president.
No, he would be ineligible.
You dolt.
DeLuise. I really thought he'd write back to me, particularly because I did write to him about the hard times I was going through and that I thought maybe he could relate to being a bigger kid and a small pond and whatever. Anyway, PDL, if you still have the letter, the address has updated, but Pammy.com has been the same since 1998. So I'm sure you meant to send it.
What Now features Pee Wee Herman and Eric Stoltz. A bevy of stars, Alex Winter, Amanda Peterson, and a certain Johnny Depp. Moonlight as critics, reviewing movies including The Year My Voice Broke and The Blob, and albums from Iggy Pop and Boogie Down Productions. Christina interviews Lou Diamond Phillips. And will this month's One to Watch actually live up to the name? Spoiler, no.
Oh.
For my plug this week, I'm going to plug again with this, the podcast that I do with Sarah D. Bunting about Beverly Hills 90210 and Melrose Place, which also has a Patreon, patreon.com/againwiththis, because our special bonus episode last week was a deep dive on the October 1992 issue of Us magazine. And there's a lot of fun, listen to sassy adjacent content in there, including visual aids. So if you like this, you might like that.
Hey, cool kids who like to skate and shred, as I'm sure all of you do now because you've been following this podcast. Do you know about shredcycleskate.com? It is a place where you can mail in your wheels to get recycled. How cool is that? They give wheels to people who need wheels, and all the usable wheels will go to kids through a partnership with Bridge to Skate, and anything else is upcycled or recycled. Send them your old wheels. That is Shred Cycle. And then you have a reason to write that on your arm, and you can be like, I'm fucking helping the world. Shred.
That sounds really good. You can follow me on Instagram at David T. Cole. You can follow Tara on Twitter and Instagram at Tara Ariano. Pam is Pamela Ribbon there, and you can follow the show at Listen to Sassy. Now, I'm just talking to you, just you. What I want you to do is go to iTunes and rate and review us. Give it a 6-star rating. And then go tell your mom and dad to sign up for iTunes and get them to give us the rating. And then create 7 more accounts.
Wait.
And vote for Donald J. Trump.
No, Dave!
What? Oh. Wait.
You can find more information about the podcast, visual aids for all our episodes, and contact info at listentosassy.com. Song is in progress. Speaking of our website, we'll be taking the August 88 quiz in a couple of weeks, but you can take it now. It's up online at listentosassy.com. Go find out how gutsy you are, girl, and then call the hotline at 720-SASSY-GO and tell us how it went, or just, you know, things you want to, I guess we're still talking about mayonnaise. When will that end? And if you're Peter DeLuise, you know the number, 720-SASSY-GO. I assume it's just got, we know, you know, time is still here for us. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.
Abortion traffic school?
No,
I don't know about, no.
Population density.
But I just want to put out the possibility that perhaps Peter DeLuise was sending it to Pam at PamelaRibbon.com for the past 15 years. I'm going to reach this girl one day, says Peter. Reaching Pamela Ribbon in Colorado.
Oh, what a meat cute the other Pamela Ribbon and the other Dave Cole have in store for them one day.
Should we get into the issue?
Yeah.
Shall we
Sorry, I'm still working on my per concussion joke, but that's fine. We can move on. Ugh, I did it. It's good. That's why they couldn't carry those things around, because they could get a per concussion.
Oh, right. Okay.
Well, that'll be the outro, Pam.
Thanks. Always closing.
Yeah.